Hi guys, this is your host Matilda
and your other host Hadiza,
and you're listening to the Africa Calypso podcast. Alright guys, welcome back to today's episode, and today we have guests with us. We have Victor. He's a returning guest, though. Victor has been on like two episodes before.
Yo, what's up?
Why do you do this thing?
I don't do nothing.
You were talking 5 seconds ago and your voice was not like this.
What do you mean?
He's doing bedroom voice now.
You know? I'm so stressed.
Don't be stressed. Oh, it's alright.
It's not calming me down. Calm down. Okay. And then we also have, joining us over Skype, we have Bucci.
Hi guys, how are you?
We're in good.
I don't know what I'm saying, how are you too, but whatever.
You know, everyone in the
everyone that listens to the podcast.
Yeah. Then we also have Hakim. Why are you like this?
Howdy, fellas.
Oh, all right, guys. So before we go into the topic for today, let's just, you know, how was everyone's week? Let's start with Victor.
Oh yeah, my weeks are now boring. What I do right now is plan and do work.
What are you planning for?
World takeover.
Project planning.
Loki, when you were here last time, you said you were going to take over the world. So I guess maybe you're not telling us, but I guess that's part of the plan.
Well, you don't reveal your plans to people, so you just
did though.
I don't know.
That's very general.
Remember, I'm a troll, right?
He's not telling his specific. Huh?
Remember, I'm a troll, right? So who knows?
My week was okay. I had a midterm.
Didn't we all?
Yeah, we have two of them.
I didn't have a midterm.
Labs. And, yeah.
All that fun stuff. How about you, Bucci?
Crazy week I had. Crazy, crazy week. I actually slept for the first time in 2 days.
What?
Like, say 2.5 days. And that was Friday night. From Tuesday evening up until Friday afternoon, I was literally no sleep. I had a lot of deadlines and
wait, you didn't sleep from Tuesday evening to Friday afternoon?
Literally, just kept on going.
Do you mean like you got like small naps in there one?
Well, of course. Like I mean, I never went to bed.
No, didn't sleep until Friday. I get what you mean.
Well, I thought you meant you didn't sleep at all.
I never went to bed till like, you know, I like took 1 hour naps in the library and all that kind of stuff. But I actually never like literally say like I'm going to bed, like good night type.
No, that's
crazy.
Yeah.
I did take 1 hour naps in between.
I mean, like
when I was in third year, there was time, like 3 days stretch where I actually did not sleep. I was just drinking Red Bull.
Yeah, that's exams. Honestly, student lifestyle is very unhealthy.
Healthy, yeah.
And I think we keep promoting
What does health have to do with grades?
If you die getting this degree now, what's the point?
You won't die. You'll just be temporarily
tired.
The thing is, I feel like if we are having to go to extremes, and a lot of students are having to go through that extreme just to do well, then there's a problem.
Well, it depends on what you want to fight for, right?
But like, yeah, so today, Isha, we're continuing the religion series. We talked with two other people last time, Kizito and Fawaz. And Kizito is Christian and Fawaz is Muslim. So we were just talking about...
Is his name Sunny Fawaz?
No, not that I know of.
His name Fawaz? Is he like a...
No, Fawaz!
Is he a popular rapper? Does he have a village accent?
I'm tired of you people. Okay, yeah, so we're just continuing from that episode, but this time we're going to approach it from people that are atheists or agnostic, their point of views. So that's why we brought on guests. And yeah, we're just going to go into it now.
So we're all atheists.
Well, Hakim, you're agnostic, right?
Well,
I'm atheist that's one of based on the definition.
Okay, yeah, we'll go more into it. Like, that's one of the things
I think before there is atheists and Christians arguing instead of just atheists.
No, I don't
like
that,
but like, that episode was going to be, you can't bring a proper Christian to argue with an
atheist.
What do you
mean? That was what me and Emmanuel did for like 2 years.
Yeah, but that's, you did
and
it for
so 2 years.
2 years, yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's fun, but then it's counterproductive, I think.
I mean,
do you think it's going to change anybody's mind?
No, but I want everyone to see everyone's point. Yeah.
It's not really just to change people. It's more
having
a better understanding of...
Of what you think.
Christians could have a misconception of atheists, and atheists too could have misconceptions of religion based on, like, biases and stuff.
Yeah.
When you have a more clearer understanding, you could see things from a better... It's more or less just clearing misconceptions, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that's what we're trying to do here. So, yeah, let's just go around and, like, so, I mean, everyone has basically already talked about what they identify as. Mm-hmm. So, like, let's just talk about, you know, your journey. Because we all are Nigerians on this right now. And, like, most Nigerians anyway, start with a religious upbringing, right? So, like, for you to veer off from that is usually, like, out of the norm. So I really want all of us to just kind of go around and all of you, because, yeah, to go around and basically talk about, like, what your journey has been, like, from childhood, walk us up to, like, how you got to where you are now. Mm-hmm. And, Bucci, do you want to start?
I don't mind.
Yeah, she's ready.
Would you start by saying what you are and then your story?
Yeah, and then your story.
By the strict definition of it, although some people think it's the lazy point, the lazy stance, I would say I'm agnostic.
Agnostic.
And this started, of course, long after I left Nigeria, a few years back, not too long ago. But I grew up in a Christian household. My mommy is very, she's fanatic. She's a fanatic as far as I'm concerned. My dad is more of the logical Christian, you know, he's the God of the gaps type person. What he has no evidence for, what he can't explain, he attributes it to spirituality, like most Christians, you know, most nominal Christians. The rest of my siblings are just, you know, going through the motions. I don't think they've really ever cared or that's ever really, you know, impacted their life. Yeah, my brother is actually a theist. I won't say, like, Christian theist, but I do think he believes in the existence of a supernatural being and the control of the universe by an omnipresent, you know, thing.
So he's kind of like spiritual.
I would say spiritual. That makes it kind of mysterious and adds a bit of a stick to it. I would say he's a deist, you know?
Okay.
Just when you believe that there is a being. Now, how much reverence should you give to that being and what that being wants and expects of humans and what humans expect of that being is to be debated. That's not something he knows about. But I won't say he goes through with the Abrahamic monotheistic gods.
Okay.
Essentially, deism is when...
into
is believing in an uncaused mover, but like that uncaused mover does not affect the universe in any way. He just started the universe.
Okay, I get that. Okay,
right, something like that. And the other one, the last one is to oh, he has never thought about it. I don't think his level of comprehension is up to
religion and what it does.
Yeah,
for me though, I think the idea of my journey into agnosticism started with the idea of, oh, it's not an idea, it's a phenomenon. The phenomenon of meaningless suffering. I just could not reconcile, you know, the phenomenon that is meaningless suffering. You know, kids with bone cancer, people just collapsing from ventricular defibrillation, earthquakes, plane crashes at random. And it just didn't, you know, as my friend would say, Aditolash, it wasn't adding up. The idea that there would be a supernatural being, a god, who the time you needed it the most, whether it's a she or he, they never intervene. And for some reason, there's always an explanation. So if it goes the way of the world, you know, if it goes the good way, quote unquote, God is good. But if it doesn't go if it goes the other way, God is mysterious, or you did this, or you did that. There was just no logic. And as a scientist, I need patterns. Like, I'm looking for patterns. I'm looking for, you know, logic. And I chose the point, the stance of agnosticism, because I said, well, I don't have enough evidence to say that there's no supernatural, you know, being. I don't have evidence for that. It cannot be falsified. That's one of the things you actually really cannot know. Because the way the world defines God, it's in a way that you can actually falsify, you know, there being a God.
Yeah.
There's no hypothesis to even start up. You know, I can make up something and say, you know, like the famous flying spaghetti monster in space. You know, I can tell you there's a horse behind you. If you can't see, you can't see it. But it doesn't mean that it's not there, right? You could be going blind. You just cannot see it. That's how God is. It's not, you can't actually falsify it. So I say, well, as an agnostic, as somebody who is scientific or, you know, oriented, I said, well, I cannot say for sure that there is no God. I would tend to decide that there is none, but because I don't have evidence for that, I would rather say, you know, I'm an agnostic, I don't know. or even if there's a God, human beings certainly don't know the way that God operates. They haven't found that God out. They don't know that God. And they make, you know, things up just to be in line with current values and modern day. And it's so funny, every time, you know, God always goes with the times, you know. When homosexuality was illegal, God hated homosexuals. But now it's legal. God loves everybody and we're all equal in his sight. And all those kind of things, it just didn't vibe with me. And I'm like, nah, this is bullshit. And I'd rather just live my life, you know, knowing that there's nobody to protect me or there's nobody looking after me. And just know that my loci of control is internal. And if I get hit by a bus or if my mother should die in a plane crash, I don't start saying, God, why? God, why? I take it like that's life and that's the cycle of life. Human beings will come, human beings will go, and that's just how it goes. And I don't need the supernatural being to console me or make me live in fantasy, basically, or give me an untrue fantasy. So that's why I take the agnostic position and that's it.
Yeah, that's real. That's what you just, like, whoa. But I also am wondering, like, because I wanted to get a good understanding of how that journey was like for you. For instance, like, when you were younger and you were living with your, what you said, fanatical mother and, like, your upbringing, what was that like then?
You know, funny thing, now that I think about it, I think my mother was the compound of my agnosticism. I think just looking at her life was the reason why I'm like, no, this cannot be real. My mom is a wonderful woman. Like, literally, regardless, if she wasn't my mom, she would really be one of the nicest people on earth. Literally. Mm-hmm. She's kind to a fault. She's generous. But I just saw religion take over her life. Mm-hmm. And I think it was compensation for something. Till today, I've tried to figure it out with my brother, but I think, I tell her, I think it's just a compensation for just a failed career, I guess. I guess she became a mother and a wife in that era where women were still traditional, but it was on the verge.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, it's either you could go here or there. So you could even remain traditional or just switch to modern day woman, you know, working class. That's the time she became a mother and a wife. And I feel like in her life, she just stuck to the traditional part of life. But now she's realizing, after a while, she realized that life has moved on. And
that's so many Nigerian women.
And the only thing to console herself was religion. Religion was, you know, was her consolation prize. It was like, well, it doesn't matter. Even if they get all the career in the world, I have my children, I have my God type thinking. And, you know, she became so into it. It gave her purpose in life. You know, how people will wake up in the morning and go to work and how people will wake up in the morning and, you know, community service, volunteer. I think religion gives her purpose in life. It makes her move day to day thinking that she's doing God's work, right? She'd rather be poor and do God's work.
Wait,
or rather be
sorry, here I have a question.
Work than not, basically. So I think that's where that came from. And it just frustrated me because I deep down, I think my mom had so much potential and she would have done wonderful things. But religion and also
wait, I have a question.
Religion, another different thing, really put her down.
Yeah, Hakim, what?
Oh, she wasn't religious before.
No, she was religious before.
Well, you haven't known her before that, right?
Yeah, like, before I was born, then no, she was fine, I guess. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you can't. She can't.
I really cannot.
But like all the time you've known her, she's been religious. Yeah,
religious.
And like, did you come to that realization? Like, even growing up, like, and seeing her, is it like, okay, you were going to church, obviously, like with them, right?
Uh-huh.
But did you just not like internalize it then?
So I was going to church, right? But and I believed in God though. But I just knew that the type of worship and the type of reverence and the type of just basically the way my mom and her clan and they have operated, I just knew that that just couldn't be right.
Uh-huh.
I just knew. I mean, I was like, man, if people
did they do like, immoral things?
No. It's just so overzealous. I'm like, this is not possible because if everybody thought like my mom, if everybody behaved like her, you know, nobody would invent anything. The world would be stagnant.
Yeah.
You know, you explain everything through religion. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. If my brother was sick, she'll give him like anointing oil And thank, well, my dad was the flip side. He was the voice of reason. My dad is the God of the gaps type of Christian. He's a nominal Christian. He calls God when he cannot explain something. When he's researched, and then he's like, shoot, then I'm stuck. Now it's time to call God in. So that's where my dad comes in. And I guess that's why they've been able to balance themselves out and still live together, because they are really on the opposite side of the spectrum. And we, the kids, we're in the middle. And then as we've grown older, everybody has fallen either one way or another. I think, guess it's more to not my mom's side, to the opposite side. But apart from religion, my mom is not a freak, or she's not a creep, or she's a very sensible woman, very smart woman, separate and apart from the religion thing. She's just like the average Nigerian woman who's just trying to survive, really. But it's just that her own motives, she does her things to the extreme.
How about you, Victor?
Yo, mine's actually not that much different from Gucci's. Good. Gucci's journey. Because my mom is, I won't say extremely religious. I think now she's become a lot more religious because she has a lot of things she needs to do. But my mom, has been always been really religious. My dad is like, he doesn't really give a shit. Like,
why is it that trend? I just actually realized that a lot more. Women in Nigeria.
I think I'm gonna even explain it in my explanation of why I'm not religious. So, okay. What happened was I was one of those kids who asked too many questions.
Is this Victor or Hakim?
This is Victor talking.
Okay.
Yeah, just one of those kids who asked too many questions in Sunday school, and then it got to the point where Sunday school they kicked me out a couple of times because I kept asking why, and they were like, you don't ask enough questions. But like, yeah, so I was just wondering like why things were the way they are. Mm-hmm. But then as I started like to think, right, so like it got to a point where I think when I was like, I think about 10 years old, like I read the Bible like cover to cover. I'm like, I have to understand this thing fully because nobody knows what they're talking about, right? And so I read a lot of things where I thought like, okay, this doesn't make sense, So I read the Bible several times. I said, okay, let me explore other religions, right? So I read the Quran. I read like other stuff. I read like stuff from like, I didn't read like all the Indian scrolls, but I read a bunch of other religions.
How old were you at this point?
This was like 10, 11. When I first went to boarding school, right? Okay. Like secondary school. So after I read all those things, I was like, a lot of these things are saying the same thing and they're separating people. So I'm like, how did different people from different parts of the world like develop like these cultures and this like religion? And that. So when I think back, I say, okay, what is the purpose of religion? Because I believe in evolution. I believe in like the natural progression of things.
And when did you start having that belief?
Like in evolution. I've always been a scientist. Okay. I've always been like scientifically minded. Mm-hmm. So I started to think like, okay, what would bring about, like, why are we religious? Why are animals not religious, right? Like, why is like, mm-hmm. why are apes not religious? So then I started to think, and I realized that like religion is like, it's a coping mechanism because life is hard.
Yeah.
Right. And that's even why I'll say like women will be more religious than men, because like women, controversial, are more emotional than men, right?
Oh,
so they're more in touch with like their feelings, and they're more in touch with things that like feel bad or things that feel good. So,
I thought you were even going to take a different stance because, yeah. Okay, first of all, women suffer much more.
Yeah.
One, two, society also expects that expects women to be, exactly. You know, when they're like, oh, like your wife should be on her knees at 1 a.m. praying for you or something like that. Like, I think
woman should be the support to the man.
Yeah.
Right? So the women are usually a lot more religious because they feel like they have to like be the one to support the family, because a lot of the men would be like, okay, yeah, right. They serve God, but almost like lustery, right?
It's like women don't have the power, but they can have power through God.
Yeah, exactly. When you are so powerless,
So like, I was thinking about that. Like, Rachel actually had to develop just because of how hard life is and how like a lot of things don't make sense. Like a lot of things that happen, like she was saying, like senseless suffering, right?
Yeah.
A lot of things that happen like don't make sense. So there has to be something there, like an invisible guy, but like, okay, you know what? I don't know what's going on, but you know what's going on, and you're on my side, so since I believe you, please be on my side, please help me. So you're praying to God basically as something like to hold on to, say, okay, this is a point of sanity where I can say, okay, no matter what, this is what is
this
helping
is what's
me
going to help.
So I've reached a point in my life, it's probably like a privileged point where I'm saying like, okay, most of the things I can like most of the things I do and most of the things that happen in my life, I say, it doesn't have to be my fault. Like, it doesn't matter whether or not it's my fault, but it's my responsibility, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even if, like, let's say, God forbid, like, my parents die or whatever, right? I won't be like, oh, why God or why the world or whatever. Like, it's my responsibility now. From this starting point, what should I do next?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really need that anchor or that, like, thing about God, like, to like support me through anything, because I've taken like a stance where like I'm responsible for anything that goes wrong with me and I'm going to like work with it.
Okay.
So my title will actually be not atheist, but like culturally Catholic, because because I just have a lot of, like, you should see, like, a couple minutes ago, I said, God forbid, if I said, like, my friend, because, like, it's already ingrained in me. Like, even when I'm on the plane, right, even though I don't believe in God, like, I don't believe God exists, I'll still pray when the plane is doing turbulence.
Right? Yeah, you'll be like, God.
Exactly. So, like, it's not like I believe.
Then in the definition of it, it is atheism. So it's right, just like, right? But
I won't say I'm completely atheist, because a lot of my mannerisms.
Yeah, but mannerisms don't mean you're swearing, like
if you swear, you don't necessarily like.
I guess, but like, yeah. I choose to make the distinction too, because like, okay. I can't really 100%, because like, look, I'm wearing a cross, right?
Yeah.
Right, I can't 100% say I'm atheist when I do a lot of Christian or Catholic things, right? Like, honestly, except for the not believing in God part, if I never tell anybody I don't believe in God, people just assume I'm Christian. Yeah, just because when I'm at home, I'll go to church. If I'm here, I'm gonna go to church, right? Mm-hmm. But everything else I'll do will be considered like Christian or Catholic things, but I just don't believe God exists.
Uh-huh.
That's all.
Interesting.
You can't say that's all, because that's the basis of it. Like, do you get what I mean? I agree. Like, whatever you mm-hmm. choose to like
identify
with, that's obvious. No, that's obviously what it is to you. Do you get what I mean? It's 2019. Whatever you choose to identify as,
yeah, good.
That you're good. Like, that's fine. But yeah. What I'm trying to say is that, like, it's the very basis of the belief. Do you get what I mean? Because exactly, yeah, like, you can do that because it's culturally ingrained in you, and then you exactly. just do it all over it's and all over habits again. Now. It's habits, exactly. But it's not what you believe. Do you get what I mean?
You're so, like, atheist.
Yeah,
I don't believe in toothpaste where I brush my teeth. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to.
What
have
do you mean? You don't have to have a belief to
I don't have to actively believe in toothpaste to brush my teeth every day.
Yes, you do. Because why are you brushing?
Because I brush my teeth every day since I was born.
No, you brush your teeth so it does, because you believe that the toothpaste.
Yeah, but I don't really think, oh, I'm going to brush my teeth because so my mom does this. Man, I brush my teeth because I brush my teeth. Like, I bath every day.
No, but then the repercussions of you not brushing your teeth will start to show. And so your belief that brushing your teeth is going to make your mouth soft smelling.
He's saying he's going to emotions more than thinking about it.
It's more automatic than, I don't think about it.
Yeah.
Like I don't think about like, oh, let me brush today. So my mom doesn't smell. I just feel like, oh, I wake up, take a shower, brush. Like that's how it is. So it doesn't matter whether I believe in toothpaste or not, I'm still gonna brush.
I mean, fair enough.
You know what I'm saying? So like,
it's not thinking
so,
like, about so, like,
even if you cut out the foundation, even if you cut out the foundation of it, it's still there.
Yeah, but it's still there. No, I agree. Okay.
You don't really, even though you don't really know the mechanics or like the biology or the chemistry of toothpaste or how it works.
Exactly.
You just know that through advertising and through like evidence, physical evidence, brushing your teeth makes your teeth better. So it's kind of belief in a way, but like,
yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
It's not even that deep.
It's not the same analogy.
It's
then
belief with your eyes open.
Do you get what I mean? Like, it's not the same analogy,
okay,
because
I get
with
what
toothpaste,
though, no.
yeah, with toothpaste, you have to believe that it's doing something. Like, even though okay, I wake up and I automatically brush, I know that if I don't automatically brush, mm-hmm. like my mouth is going to smell. Therefore, I believe that toothpaste works.
I think what he's trying to say is that
it's more of like a habit.
Yeah, I get what you mean. I understand what you mean.
Belief,
you're atheistically, culturally.
No, I'm atheist with Catholic habits.
With
there we go.
I'm culturally Catholic.
Yeah.
Atheist with a sprinkle of Catholic.
Catholicism.
Anyways, yeah. Okay, so Hakim, yeah.
Well, I was born in Nigeria, so basically in Nigeria, God is real. God has always been real. And like, how can you question that God is not real? Because it's like,
mm-hmm.
are you insane or something?
Yeah.
But it's like as real as the president of Nigeria. So it's like, yeah.
So it's no one questions it. Real woman in this.
And it's like, okay. Like, for me, it's like, oh, God is real, right? And like, I've been a Muslim and stuff. But like, I haven't really been questioning the religion per se. It's just, I feel like for me, I've always gotten the general idea that you should be a good person or else you go to hell and stuff. And it's like, okay, fine. Be a good person, right? That's good now. Cause it's like, if nobody's a good person, then the world isn't a good place, you know. Exactly. So just try to be a good person to for the world to be a better place.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, but then it's not just that that Islam asks of you. They ask you to do a lot of different it will sound like blasphemy, but I'll say rituals.
Rituals, yeah.
Like you have to pray 5 times a day, you have to do so many things. So it's like Christianity, I'd say, is less imposing than Islam, because Islam...
No, that's not
they
true.
Want
no,
yeah.
Islam. Trust me. It's not.
So that's actually a misconception.
Be your life.
So, like, a lot of all the rules you guys have in Islam, we have the same rules in Christianity. Just Christianity went through a reform. That, like,
yeah,
all these rules got, like, honestly, like, lessened, but, like, they got, like, they stopped, like, hinting on all of them. Some say, like, because, like, even in Christianity, like, Christians also wear, like cotton and other stuff. Like, we're supposed to wear like blended fabrics. Like, there's some clothes we're actually not supposed to wear. But like, all those rules were like imposed up until the world started modernizing, and they're like, you know what, this shit can't happen because we can't really take care of all these people with this many rules.
No, but I actually now, feel like with sin. No, sorry, I'm sorry.
But
with,
then now, is it a sin that everybody stopped doing that?
So it's still considered a sin. It's still a sin.
Yeah.
What makes it not a sin?
The thing about Christianity is that Christianity is a culture that has evolved into a religion. That's what Christianity was. I would never underestimate or undermine the great things Christianity has done, especially for the Western culture. Literally, Western civilization was founded on Christianity.
Yeah.
And the advancement of Christianity.
I would say Christianity was detrimental to Western culture.
Yeah, I think so.
The scientists, they were all reverend, they were all priests. You know, theology was their first insight into modern science. Basically.
Why do you think it was detrimental?
It was detrimental because it slowed down, like, development.
I think it did too. Because
yeah,
if you really think about Ibuchi, there were times that they used to persecute people for thinking otherwise.
I think it started it, but then there were limits to the thinking.
If there's limits, then I'm not disagreeing with you.
Saying Christianity did start
Western civilization.
Yeah, but then it didn't allow it to advance. So I'm not arguing.
This is not even just about
Christianity
played
a role, but it wasn't the thing that Western society essentially.
It allowed Western civilization to advance, but at some point it also didn't allow it.
The only positive thing Christianity did for
Western civilization, like advancement wise, is that it gave a lot of people the title of called like priests, right? Priests are basically people with a lot of free time to study. So a lot of reason why I see like religious people had a lot of inventions because they have a lot of free time to study, and they don't have to work hard for their money and other stuff. So they can actually like they get free time and enough time to study. I'm not saying they don't work hard, but I'm saying like they enough people to study. But once why I say religion is very detrimental to society, like not even just Christianity, right? So if you go back in like I think this was in the 1600s. I'm really bad with dates, right? But Islam was actually the capital of like Baghdad was the capital of like the scientific world, right? Everything from algebra to like even half of the stars are named have Arabic names, right?
Mm-hmm.
They discovered a lot of things, and there was a very rich culture of mathematics and like science in the Muslim world. But then there was this professor named Al-Ghazali, and he was like, he's one of the reformers in Islam, right? He took over and he was like, oh, the manipulation of numbers is a thing of the devil. Immediately he said that, and because he was getting really popular, people stopped doing all those things. People stopped doing mathematics. People stopped doing like all this other stuff. And then before you know it, now the scientific center moved from Baghdad to where to Italy or something like that. Like so, people like stifles.
Yeah, I think I get into my main point. So like the thing was that like Islam, it's not just being good and not sinning. It's more like Islam is your life, and like.
But I'm telling you, that's what Christianity is.
That's every religion. That's like most religion.
The only
thing about modern life is that like you can't really be Islamic in a modern life, or otherwise you have to make a lot of compromises that you might not like.
That happens
to every religion. Well, I can give Orthodox Christianity.
The only thing that is different in Christianity is the invention or the advent of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ says, on this stood law,
love your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is the grace that Christianity falls back on. Christianity is as life encroaching as Islam is, up onto your bedroom. Do you know that Christianity is against the idea of IVF? Christian theology.
What's IVF?
In vitro, yeah.
You cannot separate the idea, the procreation from sex itself. You cannot do that because that's the very.
Christianity is against IVF.
Yep.
IVF, in vitro for fertilization.
In vitro, anything to do with like science on like babies and stuff like that.
Yes.
Oh.
You know, Catholicism is also anti. Contraceptives.
Anti-conception, anti-genetic engineering,
anti-all of those. Yeah.
Because they're like, you cannot act like God.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, if you can, if
God doesn't want to cure AIDS, why can't we, right?
The only thing is that they just fall back on the grace or the supposed grace that Jesus Christ afforded them.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the only difference. So I think
Christianity.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about me is that my problem isn't really with God or like the idea of God or any of the religious stories. My problem is just with religion itself and the institution.
So organized religion, basically.
I feel like we can analyze the Bible and we can talk about the idea of God and everything. And that could be all right. And like the idea of what's right and wrong and the idea of all those things. But like with religious institutions themselves, it's like, I feel like it's very wrong.
Mm.
Okay, not, maybe not wrong, but like they're very confused.
Wait, elaborate on that point.
Because it's like, there are so many rules, and like you're trying to decipher what is right from what is wrong, because no one really has the ultimate. Because I feel like it's possible for there to be an objective morality, but like the thing is that we don't exactly know what exactly the objective morality is. We know for a fact that like killing people for no reason is wrong. Yeah, that's an objective morality. But like, there are a lot of things that we don't fully understand about morality. Religion actually
is like a shortcut, monopoly.
When it comes to morality, religion is almost a monopoly on that. But like, and I don't mind religion being almost in a monopoly because religion has history. So like, of course, it will have more experience when it comes to morality. But like, the thing is that a lot of religious morality is very confused. So, like, this idea of if you do this, you go to hell. If you do that, you go to hell. And, like, a lot of it's arbitrary rules. Like, say, don't eat pork. Like, you're starving to death, but and there's pork on the table. It's like, okay, but don't eat it. Or, like,
but then
or,
like funny
don't wear multiple garments and all that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can't really reasonably sift through that morality.
Yeah. I still maintain the stance that religion is cultural. That's it. We have imported 90 or 100, I don't know, whatever BC, Judaism culture into modern day and called the Christianity. Religion is heavily cultural. Islamist or Islam, you know, worship world.
Islam, just Islam.
Adherence to Islam, the Islamic religion.
Imported Saudi Arabia, the Ottoman Empire, it reported their culture and called it religion. Those are cultural things. They're not. There's no omnipotent being that ever told anybody that. And it is very obvious from the way they even write. You hear things like, the sun rises in the west, the fool says in his heart that there's no God.
Honestly, but I feel like if,
fall. And
I
you
feel
can,
like if
you
religious
can,
morality
you,
was real.
In the way you see them write, you can tell that they're writing with fascination, with lack of understanding. This is where men, very intelligent men that try to understand the world with very little science, they didn't understand it. They had to explain the world. And they had to control it. And that's why I always say the Bible or the Quran never talked about microorganisms because they didn't have the technology to know about microorganisms. They never talked about things they couldn't see. Everything in the Bible, the sun, the stars, the moon, these were all observations. You could see them with your eyes. And that's why they wrote about them. That is why all their parables, all their fables all surround observational things you can see around with your eyes. They never talked about microorganisms. They never talked about cancer. They never talked about AIDS because it wasn't there. It wasn't necessary. They didn't science to understand virus. These are people that were trying to understand the world with very little information.
For me, I don't really feel like they're trying to understand the world per se, but like I feel like they are more like trying to understand how to live in the world.
It's the same thing, though.
That's same thing.
No, but like
trying to understand the world,
understanding
even it,
what the world is,
trying to make you know sense of the very little they have. Even the whole
it's okay to understand.
No, but Hakim is both because like if you read the creation story, it's basically understanding like how the world was created, how the world works. It's the same thing.
No, but like understanding how the world works is different from understanding how to live in the world.
No, but religion does both.
I think it does both.
One and the same.
Yeah, so I think she's right. Religion just trying to explain the world.
Like how we came to be basically, and then how to live.
Yeah, just trying to explain everything through like eyes that are not that don't understand as much as we do right now because of science, right? So they didn't know as much as we do now, but they're trying to use the knowledge they had, like the observations they had, right? To explain the world.
Even the whole thing about do not eat pork or do not eat this. I guess maybe in their time they realized that people ate pork and felt sick. Maybe
exactly.
Yeah, there's basis in that. Yeah. There's actually
the whole idea of do not have sex before marriage. There was no DNA at that time.
STDs.
STDs
you
protection.
You couldn't tell who was the father unless they had sex. And that is why that's the thing about the Old Testament. When they raped that lady in the Old Testament, and that's why the Testament commands that
which one?
You must marry.
There are multiple. That's what I'm saying. It's not just one.
You cannot tell any offspring she brings that comes out from there. It's yours. There's nobody else. You cannot tell it again. That's why they're like, you must marry. And that's why their laws seem very brash and very stringent because they didn't understand the world and they had to make little do with what, you know, whatever they understood.
Yeah.
Rather than they say, marry your, do not have sex before marriage. You can tell that these people are just trying to protect the little sanity they had of the environment at that time.
Yeah.
You don't want somebody to get pregnant and then they don't know who had the child. Or if a girl was as promiscuous as women are today, very controversial. But they won't be able to, you know, it's going to be hard for us to be able to figure out, okay, what happened here, right? And that's why immediately women started menstruating, they had to get married. Because then again, sex became a thing, sexual desires became a thing. And you can understand how these men... funny enough, they happen to be men, which, you know, at that time, they would have been the ones with the upper strength. So regardless, women couldn't have fought them. There was no brain, there was no blood,
right? The strength thing.
People with physical strength would have been the ones to dominate the society.
Mm-hmm.
This all can be explained. Religion is a cultural thing. And I understand how it has become very consolatory for a lot of people. But let us tell ourselves the truth. Religion is it's more consolatory than, you know, facts. There's a repression.
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, it just develops to like help the human condition like exist like better.
It's just
make things easier for us to exist.
In my opinion, sorry.
You know what I feel like? I feel like even though religion is culture and stuff, I feel like there is some kind of objective morality.
I don't think there's any objective morality to
mention. Even if there's objective morality.
Like, what is objective about morality?
Why do you need religion to tell you about.
Like, what?
No, we don't need religion to tell us.
So
but the thing is that.
Any objective morality
religion,
will be made by man as well.
I'm not saying religion has to tell us because a lot of morality in religion is not objective by any means. But, like.
Okay,
I'm saying that there is an objective morality and religion kind of played a role into trying to find it. But like
morality is
in a very, very bad way.
Okay, like I'm saying like I don't think objective morality exists. Like what would you consider as objective morality?
No, so it wasn't really objective morality in that there's obviously people still defining it.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was like
so they were just trying to define it
to create an illusion.
So it's basically like a bunch of like men coming to like to try to call to help like help make sure like their society is running well.
People.
So like, say, okay, like making these rules because these rules might be the best rules to help our society run.
I don't want to come in because like I really want you guys to talk about your opinions and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm obviously going to come from a mono I've come again with this word. Monotheism. With a Christian, yes, yes. I'm going to come with my Christian beliefs in this and everything. But I feel like there are some things, though, that I feel like maybe later, I don't know, they're going to be explained by science and everything. But I feel like there is a creator to me, even scientifically.
Okay,
there has to be. I mean, whether or not he's involved, does not
mean. Like, it's very likely that there is. It's very likely. I feel like it is possible that there's a creator too.
It's quite likely. Well, like,
if there's a creator, fine, I agree. Now, what is the point of that creator? What does he or she do?
Yeah, I think the difference between people who believe in a religion versus not is. Whether there's a creator or not, it doesn't really matter because you, as someone who doesn't believe in religion, do not believe you owe the creator anything. Because how would you know if I wasn't born with the instructions to life, therefore I do not owe the creator anything. And I think that's where Bucci and you guys are coming from, right?
Yeah, because whether a creator exists or not doesn't even matter. There's no evidence for its existence. There's no evidence to disprove its existence. So because the creator is equally as likely as existing as like what I think what Hakim said earlier, like there's a horse behind you, it's always behind you, you can't look at it, right? Because you can't disprove that, you can't prove that. Because you can't see it. So God existing is the same likelihood as anything you can't prove existing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. So it's like, so what's the point of when you're talking about it? Because if there's no way to prove or disprove it, then it shouldn't even be like, you shouldn't waste your thoughts on it, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Because
we shouldn't really waste our thoughts on whether or not God can be real, but like I feel like whether or not there is an objective morality is something that we really need to understand. Because like I feel like there is an objective
morality. Give an example of an objective morality
because morality has to be objective. I think it's just morality depends on the society, like at the time where you live.
Different societies have different laws and
But then again, not all societies are equal. Some societies are actually more successful than others.
Mm-hmm. In what sense?
For example, saying like a tribe, they actually honor their dead by eating their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I've heard this example.
Yeah.
But then say what actually happens when you eat when you eat people's dead bodies is that you contract diseases
that kill them.
There are some societies that have traditions that are actually worse than others.
But Hakim, how
would you define worse?
Is it moral or immoral? It's just a cultural practice. It's neither moral nor immoral. The same way somebody can say burying the dead is immoral. Like, what is this? Maybe some practices are not as hygienic as the other, not as healthy as the other, but it does health equate to morality in and of itself. Because you're more healthy doesn't mean you're more moral or you are the better person. It's not really objective morality. Society
let's say there are two societies, a society where everyone says the truth and a society where everyone lies. Tell me, which society would you think would be more successful?
I think neither.
What
the situation is, if everyone was honest about, oh, this is my situation, this is what is going on, this is not what I like, this is what I like.
But people
then,
have...
Because you're honest doesn't mean, like, if you say this is what I don't like, there are people who honestly keep doing
it. If everybody told you, if every white person came and told you how they felt about black people, and if every black person came and told you every white person how they felt about them on the basis of telling the truth, society will crumble.
Yeah, I feel like you underestimate how words affect people.
Society will also crumble.
The thing is that say we live in like it's a society where the leader controls everything.
Mm-hmm.
The leader controls everything. So once the leader says something, you cannot question it. If like say President Buhari is a dictator now,
mm-hmm.
and he says all the water and all the food should move to Kaduna or something because people need food more. But like in other states, people actually need food as well. Now, people can't question it. People can't say, oh,
this is what is happening to me. This is what is going on. And because it's like, he's the dictator. So it's like, you cannot question him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and another thing that, okay, that's a macro scale. Now, something of a micro scale. This is something that I mention all the time. I see this all the time, like on Twitter, someone's like, oh, I saw this on the floor, or I saw this laptop. Why can't I take it when someone is being careless? Yeah, I've seen this philosophy before. Like, why can't I benefit from someone else's carelessness? Things like that. Why can't I just take this laptop because someone was careless enough to leave? Why can't I just take this wallet because someone was careful enough to leave $1,000 in his wallet and on the floor? Now, in a society where they value things like, oh, okay, let's pick up this wallet and actually find the owner, as opposed to like actually taking it because every man for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Which society do you think would be more successful?
Depending on the times and depending on what's happening at
Wait,
that time.
So you think about kindness. You think about like,
I see what you're trying to get at with your own idea of objective morality, but there isn't something like that. You talked about Buhari and being a dictator. They are great dictators.
They're those that made fantastic societies.
But they have been really great autocrats.
They always fail eventually because people do not understand everything about.
Their court always fails eventually.
Sorry, guys.
Is that because of
intervention or what?
Okay, sorry, guys.
What?
I'm so sorry to cut it short. It's a really, really interesting and engaging conversation. There's so much to talk about. One of the really big things that questions I've always had for me, no matter how far I strayed, it's been really hard for me to ever like stray too far from religion. Mm-hmm. So,
an Nigerian woman.
I mean, it's a thing I've thought about. Yeah, I'm like, are my value systems actually just like this because I was raised like this and because of how attached Nigerian women are to religion?
Yeah,
I've thought about it too, but regardless of what it is,
that's,
and
how you feel.
That's just how I feel. But I've just wondered, because one of my biggest things is like death. What happens after death? It's one of the things that human beings have never been able to explain.
What happened before you were born?
I can't remember. No, I understand that. I can't remember. I don't know. I understand. Yeah. That's it. Exactly. Yeah, so I just wanted to like know how you guys have come to, not just what you think about it, but how you have come to terms with it. Because I feel like, if you don't really believe that there is a, like, you know, a creator and like all these things, obviously, not obviously, people probably have different conclusions. So how have you come
so
to terms with
simple.
That?
For me,
really, really fast, guys.
Let's one by one.
And it needs to be fast.
So for me, it's actually quite simple because we're measuring life and not life, right? When was I alive? I'm alive now. When was I not alive? Also, the evidence I have for not being alive was before I was born, right? What was I before I was born? Nothing. I had no perception. I had nothing. So I assume based on that, I'm saying, okay, now I'm alive. I'm going to be not alive again. And that's exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to be gone. Right? So I don't believe in anything that happens after because there's almost no evidence for it. Because there was a point where I wasn't alive. I don't remember anything from there. And to me, there was nothing that existed before then. And I existed now. And I'm not going to exist again.
How does that help you cope with not just you, but people you know that have
cope?
That would like die? Yeah, cope. Exactly.
Well,
I mean, you've
like
said
everyone's going to die, right?
Yeah,
so
obviously.
And everything ends. So it's just like, you just have to accept it. There's beginnings, there's endings, and then that's it.
It doesn't make it harder.
Difficult doesn't mean impossible, right?
I didn't know.
And also, because something is hard doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. Like, I see a lot of people, like, because an emotion is difficult to process, or because an emotion is like a bad emotion doesn't mean you shouldn't feel it. Like, if you're sad, understand that you're sad and feel it, and then feel it enough to move on, right? So sad is just an emotion like happy. When you're happy, you don't think about, oh, why am I you don't try to analyze the happiness. You don't try and like, you just like, I'm happy, be happy, and then move on to the next emotion. When you're sad, be sad and move on to the next emotion. It doesn't matter if it's hard or easy. You just have to do it and then move on. Because if you try and overthink it or dwell on it too much, then you just weigh yourself down for no reason. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? So yeah, it's same. Yeah, so you just whether it's hard or not, you just go through it and then you move on.
Okay, so how about what do you think?
I pretty much have the same views. Like, you don't know how it was like when you were born, and you probably won't know how it's like when you die. But then at the same time, sometimes I just think of things and I just like, wow, how is it so amazing that like I'm conscious now and then at some point I wouldn't be conscious again.
Interesting.
Now, I don't really know what would happen to me, but like, I feel like it's also strange.
It is.
Mm. It's strange, but it's real. Everything about life is strange, you know, but like, it's also real.
Game hacking played, sorry.
Yeah, it's like falling
asleep. I agree with Victor in the death thing a lot. But the only thing about it is that I just find it very, very strange. I don't know, it's like, I think of a lot of theories, like, what if consciousness is actually universal? Like, things like, what if, like,
trees.
I am you, and you are Victor, and...
Some people are checking
out. You know that album, what's his name?
Is it, like, Logic?
Logic, yeah, no, when he was gone, and then
everything. Logic stole it from someone else.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, Bucci.
Yeah, Bucci.
Right.
Like, what different... But, yeah.
For me, though, regarding death, I feel like human beings are very egotistical, and they just cannot bear the idea of them being, you know, in oblivion or without perception. Human beings are very me-minded. And the fact that it consoles you doesn't mean it's true. So the fact that thinking that there's a heaven where everybody will play pianos and, you know, sing the guitar doesn't make it true. Because you want it to be true doesn't mean it's going to be true. And I said I'd rather live in a very scary reality than, you know, unrealistic fantasy that I know that just logically it's impossible. True. So, and death is death, you know, human beings, it's a cycle of life. I know I say that now because I haven't had anybody really close to me, you know, die, and, you know, the hurt hasn't stung me, but it doesn't change the fact that this person is gone. They're not going to any heaven. They don't hear you when you talk. Otherwise, they would have raised themselves from the dead. They don't hear you.
Or in your opinion.
They are gone. They are gone. No. A dead human being is the same as a dead animal. Done. That's it. Humans, no blood flow, no brain work, nothing. No brain wave. It's done. It's over. And that's why when you remember these things every day, you say you want to live the life on your own terms. At least even if not for yourself, because you don't care when you're dead, because you will not...
Exactly. You want to live life for
yourself. Even if not for you, but for the people you leave behind, that they have something to cling onto and the memories of you being happy and joyful. And it's consolation for them, for sure. But as for me, I know I will die, and regardless of what anybody thinks, I will not even care when I die. I will not even know when I'm done, because I'll be gone.
How would you know?
And that's the end of it. And many million people did that before me. Many millions, it happened to many millions after me. So there's no, I'm like a tiny speck in the universe. I am an irrelevant matter. I will come and I will
go. I actually totally agree with that.
Yeah, that's it. Whether it consoles you or not, because Christianity consoles you, or because religion consoles you, doesn't mean it's true. It won't make it true. It will not. And I think that's what people need to think about, because you want things to be true. I really want to be Cinderella too, but
don't kill me.
That's what it is. That's just the fact. I can buy her dresses, but I'm not going to be her. That's just it. And I accept my life and I move on and I make my own reality. That's it.
Usually we go through that whole thing where we ask, you know, what lessons did you learn from the week? I don't know if I want to do that now. This was a really, really interesting conversation. Anyways, guys, okay, so we'll catch you guys next week. Bye. Sorry to end this abruptly.
Bye.